Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today's date is Thanksgiving, November 25th, 2021, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting. Today, we're reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 101, paragraph 2, which begins with, "In our belief, any scheme." Today's readers are Joanne L. for the 12 steps, Debbie B. for the 12 traditions, Dion R., Eileen M., and Julie E. B. Diane B. will greet newcomers at the end of the meeting and take numbers from available sponsor, and Shelly E. will give us some updates. So the reference number for the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for yesterday, November 24th, is 18130. That's 18130. And the reference number for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for November 25th, Thanksgiving, is 18138. That's 18138. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Joanne L. to please read the 12 steps.
Good morning, Elaine. Happy Thanksgiving to you, and also thank you for your service. And I do want to say happy Thanksgiving to the world, because we are the world right now on this line. My name is Joanne L., and I am currently in Massachusetts, originally from Rhode Island. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. This is the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you very, very much, Joanne L. And now Debbie P. will read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, everybody. This is Debbie P. I'm calling from Indiana. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public communication media. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality. Thank you for letting me serve this month, and I'll pass.
Thank you very much for your service, Debbie T. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery that are described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only, please. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, please let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted using star 1, please. Today, We resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 101 in paragraph 2, and I will ask Dion R. to please read and comment on that for us.
Okay, yes, good morning, Elaine and everyone. Excuse me, happy Thanksgiving for all those who observe it. In our belief, any scheme of combating alcoholism which proposes to shield the sick man from temptation is doomed. If the alcoholic tries to shield himself, he may succeed for a time, but he usually winds up with a bigger explosion than ever. We have tried these methods. These attempts to do the impossible have failed. Whoa, yes, it has. Beyond a compulsive overeater, and very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. And today, I can't shield anyone else. And the only way I can help myself or help anyone else is to help myself. And the only way I can help myself is to surrender. Surrender to the program and in these 12 steps, which gave me a guide of my understanding. That could fight anything, any addiction, any explosion, anything, the God that I found in these rooms of Overeaters Anonymous. That's the spiritual part of the program for me. It works, you know, in good weather and bad weather, happy times, bad times. It just never fails. But me trying to stop somebody else or help them hit their bottom, I try both of those. I'm going to help you hit your bottom faster, or I'm going to try to heal you, you know, and none of those work. It failed. If I couldn't help me and needed a spiritual program, you know, and trying to share with the whole family, and they seeing me weighing like 300 pounds, and I'm steady saying at that time, oh, but OA is the reason. It's the answer, which it was. But they saw me being fake. I was talking the talk, but I didn't know how to walk the walk because I hadn't completely surrendered or submitted to the God of my understanding and admitted complete defeat. So after many years of failing, for 23 years, as of, I'm so grateful for June 23rd, 2012, I was able to fully submit to my and admit to my utmost being. I knew I was, but I submitted to the solution, surrendered to God and my understanding, and lost over 130,000 capped off, and that's only because of the God of my understanding and realizing my way doesn't work. Never did. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you all for allowing me to be of service. And today, I guess I'll try to stay in service. As I heard earlier or yesterday, service is a part of being showing gratitude to my higher power. So, and I am grateful. So, and with that, thank you. I look forward to hearing from everyone, and I will pass. Thank you, Miss Elaine.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Dion, and thank you for your service all month. Okay. Although we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared on A Vision for You for the last couple of days and you'd like to comment, please press star 1 to unmute and let me know.
Noel E., Louisiana.
Noel E.
Wendy B.
Wendy B. Anybody else? Well, let's kick off with Noel E. and then Wendy B., and then we'll take some more people who'd like to share on this.
So hi, this is Noel.
Thank you.
So sorry. I unmuted and couldn't hear. hi, everyone. Noel E., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. I'm actually in Florida, but from Louisiana. And thank you, everybody, for your service, especially Dion. I'm just going to piggyback off of what you said because it was so true. Like, if I try to... I can't try to heal anybody else. That's what Higher Power has been showing me all morning. And this is my first recovered Thanksgiving ever. So I'm an infant here on the line. To anyone who's new, where it works if you work it. The miracles abound, and the pain all has purpose. And you know, my Higher Power. Came to me as a child in this one place in particular. And at this one place, we had a Thanksgiving prayer that we'd sing every Wednesday. And I thought I'd share it with you guys now. Thank you for giving me the morning. Thank you for every day that's new. Thank you that I may know my worries can be cast on you. Thank you, I have my occupation. Thank you for every pleasure small. Thank you for music, light, and gladness. Thank you for them all. Thank you, O Lord, your love is boundless. Thank you that I'm full of you. Thank you, you make me feel so glad and thankful as I do. Amen. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Noel. That was delightful. Okay. Wendy B., you are up next, and then we'll take another lineup on page 100, paragraph 2. Please share with us, Wendy.
Good morning. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona, and thank you so much for that song. That was delightful. So, our schemes of combating alcoholism by shielding the sick man from temptation. You know, we know that's not the answer, you know, because alcohol use isn't really the problem, you know. Our binging isn't really the problem. You know, a dry drunk still has the problem in his mind, you know, just like we do if all we have is white-knuckled abstinence. You know, we still have the disposition of a selfish alcoholic. You know, we really need a spiritual experience, you know, that brings a transformation in the way we think and the way we feel. And during my initial, you know, detox period, it was helpful to shield myself from temptation, you know, until I could develop better habits, you know, and ways of thinking about food, you know, that it's no longer, you know, eating's no longer just for entertainment, you know, but just for the nutrition of my body. And, you know, I had to exercise self-discipline and set structures and boundaries in place, you know, around my food, you know, so it would cease to be a, you know, so predominant issue in my day, you know, so I could be set free from its bondage, you know, free to have a life beyond the food. And all this was God doing for me what I couldn't do myself. You know, he relieved me of the control food had on me, you know, the obsession of my mind, and placed it in a neutral position, you know, so it no longer drove me. I got set free so I could surrender my life to God's purposes, you know, instead of being a slave to my want for instant gratification. And, you know, only God has enough power to orchestrate this change. And like it was said earlier, I can't make this happen for another person. And that's all I have. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Wendy B. And so if anybody has not shared in the last couple of days and would like to share, we'd love to hear from you. Please share your experience, strength, and hope on page 100, paragraph 2, which we begins with, in our belief, any scheme. And press star 1 to unmute. Let me know if you'd like to share.
Yes. Darian, do you know of V, Las Vegas?
I heard Genoa V in Las Vegas and somebody else.
Yes, uh-huh.
And who else wanted to share?
Darian K.
Darian K.
Joe M. from Minnesota.
Joe M.
Jordan L.
And Jordan L. Okay, great. Well, let's go with Geneva K., Darian K., no, Geneva V., Darian K., Joe M., and Jordan L., and then we'll take another lineup. So please share with us Genoa V., and if you're not Genoa, please
yes.
press star 1 to mute your phone. Thank you.
Hi, Genoa V., recovered in Las Vegas. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody on the line. This paragraph, for the longest time I thought, I thought everything outside of me was the problem. You know, if we didn't have this in the house, if there wasn't this, if there wasn't that, I tried that so many times to make sure that everything was out of the house or everybody's going to suffer right along with me. And what would I do? Just what it said, a bigger explosion than ever. Then I know how to go everywhere where there's stuff that I want and that I feel like I need. So, my husband, who is in recovery as well, said, gee, I just don't think that's the issue here. Either God has or he hasn't. And I just could not get that. I'm so glad that finally, I've understood the message that abstinence does not cure compulsive overeating. I have a spiritual malady, which can only be solved with a spiritual solution. And once that happens, then I have neutrality around food. And oh my God, I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful, not to be fighting, because, anytime I get in the ring with my disease and I start fighting and debating, will I have this? Well, no, I'm not going to have it. Well, let me just have a spoonful. Well, no, I'm not going to. Whenever I start that conversation in my head, I might as well just go ahead and give in, because it's all over at that point. That's for me. And so I'm so glad today that like we're having friends over and stuff. And, I know what's my food to eat and I'm not worried about the other, but I'm really looking forward to the companionship, the friendship, the conversation, all of that. That is truly a blessing. And I've really just been in an attitude of gratitude. I took this week off from work and, in the past for me, because I've got 90 something days of abstinence and work through the steps, and I'm just so grateful. For me in the past, taking time off from work, there'd be a whole debate going on, how am I going to get through the day? Am I going to eat? Da da da. And I have just really enjoyed being on the meetings, being of service and things like that. I have purpose to my life today. And so I'm grateful. I'm grateful for you guys being here every day. Most time I'm on the earlier meeting because I get up really early. But I'm so grateful that you were here today. And I knew, I could sleep in a little bit, but I can also join my fellows and get my day started that way. So I thank you all for your service. And thank you for allowing me to share.
Thank you, Genoa V. We're glad you're here today, too. Thanks for your share. Darian K., you're up next, followed by Joe M.
Good morning. Can you hear me okay?
You sound great.
Oh, okay. Awesome. this is Darian K. from the Berkshires in Massachusetts. Great alcohol, food addict. I'm just super grateful to be here. I I'm so glad that you guys are here this morning. I was like, are they going to be here? It's a holiday. Maybe they took it off. Nope, still doing service for me. Oh, what a beautiful, beautiful meeting this is. So grateful to have found it and you know, continue to be a part of it whenever I can. I just, you know, I always feel so compelled to, you know, to share and to be, you know, in the middle. Because it's important. It's important for people to get to know me. It's important for me to be, to feel a part of, because I never felt that way before program. And just from this this information that we read today, you know, what I got from it is, yeah, maybe in the very beginning when we're brand new, you know, it's probably a good idea not to have all kinds of sweets and bingey foods, you know, alcoholic foods around. You know, but as time goes on, the neutrality comes in. The attitude of, you know, they used to say nothing tastes as good as my abstinence feels. And that's what I feel today. And I am around all kinds of stuff. My, you know, my boyfriend is not a compulsive overeater at all. And you know, he can have stuff in the house. And I am not, you know, thinking about it, drawn to it. It's not calling me in the middle of the night. It's not like there's just, it's still a miracle, you know, and I've been in since 1986 and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how much time. It's not like all that time is making me stronger. No, no, I just have today just like all of you. And it made me think too, not only do we have the steps in our lives to, you know, to pray and to be close to our higher power with, but we have all those tools that, you know, are suggested. So, you know, if we feel tempted, we can make a phone call. There's so many of us around that we can reach out to. We can do some writing if we need to. You know, we can pray, just get on our knees, you know, somewhere else from, you know, away from the people that we're with. You know, it's not even the food sometimes. I feel like when I woke up this morning, it's more like the buzz of everybody, you know, getting things done and rushing around trying to make things perfect. And that's the stuff that sort of makes me like loopy, and I can get feel crazy. And then I have to breathe and say, oh, just breathe, like say the serenity prayer and just stay calm, you know, because that kind of thing can set me off too. So, and also super grateful that there'll probably be a meeting tomorrow because, I've been warned many times in this program that we need to watch out for the day after, you know, that we can be like, woo, good doobies all, you know, the day of, but then the day after it's like, whoop. We kind of let down our guard. So just, yeah, just a gentle reminder about that. And so thank you all for being out there and have a beautiful, beautiful, blessed day.
Thank you very much, Darian K. Joe M., you are up next, followed by Jordan L.
Thank you for your service. My name is Joe M. I'm a compulsive overeater in Minnesota. Can you hear me okay?
You sound great.
Okay, thank you. In our belief, any scheme of combating alcoholism which proposes to shield the sick man from temptation is doomed to failure. What strikes me this morning about this paragraph is that it's in step 12. It's in the chapter working with others. It's not in the chapters on step 1. And this is the first time I've realized that. So as I look at this morning, what I'm thinking of is, how am I helping others to understand the nature of their condition? Because for me to understand the nature of my condition is step 1. Well, this is step 12. So by the time I get to step 12, I have an understanding and an acceptance of my condition, which I can then convey to somebody else to help them understand the nature of their condition. So in sponsoring people, in working with newcomers, in having outreach calls, I am not to suggest anything to anybody that tells them that they're supposed to combat their compulsive overeating. I am supposed to help them to understand that the nature of their condition, if they're like me, is that they're powerless over the condition, which means that trying to combat it is an attempt to have power over the condition. And if anyone who's wondering whether or not they're a compulsive overeater, they simply look at their history and look at what happened when they tried to combat their tried to combat their compulsive overeating? Are they trying to shield themselves from temptation? Because that's just another attempt at trying to have control. So that is what strikes me today. I have a responsibility when I am working with others, sharing the message of recovery at meetings and so on, that this is not a condition that can be combated. It is a condition that can only be surrendered to and then following a program of recovery that brings us back into the light. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Joanne. Jordan L., you are up next, and then we'll take another lineup of people who'd like to share on page 101, paragraph 2, which begins with, in our belief, any scheme. Please share with us, Jordan L.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for moderating for us this morning. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado, and grateful to be absent and on a meeting on Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. If the alcoholic tries to shield himself, he may succeed for a time, but he usually winds up with a bigger explosion than ever. These attempts to do the impossible have always failed. This is like, it's pretty strong language here. These days in my recovery, I tend to notice, like after practicing steps 10 and 11, I notice my thoughts more often, and I'm able to like reflect on them more often. And black and white thinking is like, it's a big sort of downfall for me when I put, things into perspective. It usually doesn't behoove me to use black and white thinking, but I gotta say, like, when it comes to step 1 and step 12, like, those kind of are the places where it seems really applicable. always failed. It always fails, you know? And it's funny, when I read the paragraph this morning, what came to mind was a really specific experience that I had early on in recovery. In 2018, I went to OA birthday party for the first time, and it was amazing. There's so much power that comes from a room full of 800 compulsive overeaters that are all there to recover together. Like, there's so much power in that, if you are willing to lean into it, you know. And I had just gotten back from this conference in Los Angeles, and I was walking through Denver International Airport, and I started thinking about food. I had just spent an entire weekend with other compulsive overeaters, a 2-hour plane ride, listening to Sunday special edition recordings on my way home. Like, I had just done all I possibly could to combat it. And I was still thinking about food as I got off the plane and was walking through the airport, you know? And I don't know, I guess like that was kind of where it sunk in for me, you know, like where it sunk in, just what a miracle it would be for me to make it home without getting drunk, you know? And I think that's like the powerlessness, that we're talking about here. That understanding of powerlessness really helped me lean into a power greater than myself. Cause I had no other choice, you know? So thanks everyone for sharing this morning and being on the line. That's all I got.
Thank you so much, Jordan L. So though we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared in the last couple of days, please press star 1 to unmute and let us know you'd like to share. Betsy O. And
Virginia
K. I heard Betsy
Tamara
O.
J.
Tamara J. And I heard somebody else.
Virginia
too.
T.
Virginia T. Anybody else?
Carla H. Ann B.
And Ann B. Okay. Thank you very much. So we've got Betsy O, Tamara J, Virginia T, Carla H, and Ann B. So if you're not Betsy O, please press star 1 to mute your phone. And Betsy O, please share with us.
Have you heard?
Yes. Thank you.
Okay. Hi. Betsy O, recovering in Massachusetts. I tried all of those things, shielding myself, you know, and hiding food and, you know, from my sight. I did all those things, but the piece that I didn't understand was all the isms. You know, the substance was one thing, but there were so many isms in my illness, I didn't know that I was sick. And certainly when it says here, winds up with a bigger explosion than ever. So inevitably, you know, I would reach my goal weight through these pain weight programs, and then I'd be okay for about a month or two. And then once again, it would all start back up. And so I've tried those methods, and the attempts to do the impossible have always failed. So it all resonates with me right now. And I'm grateful that I'm on a good path right now of becoming recovered and connecting with God to really be in recovery. And thank you for having a meeting today, Cass.
Thank you for being part of the meeting today. I appreciate that. And everybody being part of the meeting today. Okay, Tamara J., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Virginia T.
Okay, hi. I'm Tamara J. from California, and I am sitting here blown away that this is the topic of this meeting because, first of all, I went to bed last night scheming how was I going to get through this day. I've been with a vision since March of this year, but I cannot seem to get that back-to-back abstinence that my friends get. I can get a certain number of days. I just don't have the food neutrality yet. And so I went to bed scared last night because I thought today is just going to be impossible for me. I think I'm on day six again. And so I thought, well, why don't you just give up and start over? But you know what? I'm grateful for what I'm hearing today because the big book just told me the schemes don't work. There's only one answer, and that one answer is my higher power, whom I choose to call God. So thank you all for who have shared so far, and thank you for what's coming in the next few minutes, and I will pass. Thank you.
And thank you for your share, Tamara. Thank you very much. Virginia T., you're up next, followed by Carla H.
Hi, this is Virginia T. in Georgia. Can you hear me all right?
I can. It sounds a little echoey, but okay. I do hear you okay.
Well, let me get to a place where it's not so echoey. Is this better?
Ooh, that is so much better. Thank you, Virginia.
Okay, good. I was standing in the bathroom, and there's too much. There's not enough to absorb the sound there. I'm so grateful for this meeting. I'm grateful for all of you. And I'm grateful for the neutrality around food that God has given me because it is indeed a gift. And it's not to be taken for granted, and it's not something that I should take pride in because it's just a gift. I know that you know, that one of the things that I keep in mind is the saying that I heard, nobody ever fell off a cliff without first getting too close to the edge. And, you know, this part of the big book gives us some guidelines for being willing to help others and trusting God to continue that gift of our food neutrality and our abstinence, when we are in situations where God calls us to help other people. So, you know, I have some guidelines that I put in place not to get too close to the edge of the cliff, like not to feel like I need to have things around the house that may cause me to go back into some of the habits without even sometimes being conscious of them, because I know that they can be lurking there after years of nibbling on those things. It's just better not to have certain things around. And if I'm going to bring something to a certain event, I only bring things that I would eat. So that is one of the rules that I like to follow. I'm grateful for that today. I was planning to go to my daughter's for Thanksgiving, and I had gotten some things to bring and made some things, and I got a call from her yesterday that her husband had tested positive for COVID, and he's asymptomatic and has just gotten his booster shot, so it may very well be a false positive, but you know, I have a large amount of a couple of types of food that fortunately I can eat. And I'm not stuck with something that is not something that I would eat myself. So, you know, I'm disappointed, but, you know.
Just a reminder.
Thank you. Just having some perspective, there's so much to be thankful for, and I'm just grateful for this meeting, and I can join with all of you. So thank you all for being here. I pass.
Thank you. Thank you too, Virginia T. Happy Thanksgiving. Carla H., you're up next, followed by Ann B. And Carla, let us know where you're calling from, please.
Good morning. I'm Carla H. from the Bay Area, California. So grateful to be recovered from that compulsive addiction that had so destroyed my health and my life today. I love this, the very first few words, and I believe any scheme of combating alcoholism. Oh, I tell you what, I had so many schemes for so many years. Not only how waking up thinking, oh, I can combat it today, you know, I have this scheme, I'm going to do this, ending my day going that one more failure, one more crash. And it reminds me, too, of the schemes that got me here. And then I came to a place to understand that I've been abstinent now for 920 days. But you know what? Time is not a tool. You know, we are instructed and come to an understanding that today, the now, is all that we have. So when asking God each morning to please set aside what I think I already know, and also to set aside all the schemes that I think work in any given situation, as we're encouraged in the big book to take these principles into all our affairs, that's Thanksgiving Day too. Those principles and that recovery that got me here was the steps, working the steps to come to that spiritual awakening, which is a change in the way I think and a change in the way I feel and a change in the way I behave. And so as I ask God each morning to direct my thinking, then I think. And that's not the scheming. It's opening my mind. God opened my mind to a new way of thinking. So it's done to me, not by me, but not without me. So in each of our recovery, we still have a will because we're human beings. So I pray, because I am so powerless over my scheming, but I submit and I'm accountable to another human being because I'm always going to be human. And this wonderful fellowship and a vision for you that I found a month in, you know, 2.5 years ago, that has been such an encouragement to me in this fellowship. I'm so grateful for all those that went before me, because I now have those jewels on my path of recovery that I found following another one's reflection of what they had found. Thank you all so much for being here. Have a very blessed day. And I pass.
Thank you very much, Carla H. Very grateful for you and vision for you also. Ann B., you're up next, and I think we may have time for some more shares after Ann B., one or two maybe. And we're sharing on page 101, paragraph 2. So please share with us, Ann B.
Hi, this is Ann B. in New York. I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm not comfortable with that word recovered, but I have been abstinent for 17 years. I mean, this paragraph is taking me back to something that happened when I was in program about a year and a half. I met a man who weighed 700 pounds, and I fell in love with him. And I hoped that I could rescue him, and I got into calling him every night at 10:30, because he told me that if I called him at 10:30, it would stop him from making his last takeout call, you know, to the local food delivery places which closed at 11. And my sponsor didn't like that. She felt that I was trying to rescue him, and she thought that was unhealthy. And eventually I did stop calling him, and I've never been sure whether that was the right thing to do. He did end up dying of his disease not too long after that. But I did understand about myself that, you know, overeating is a compulsive activity. And if I stop overeating, I'm going to possibly substitute other compulsive activities. And one of the compulsive activities that I can get into is rescuing other people. And rescuing other people, I discovered through dealing with this guy, is like an addictive thing as well. And I have to remember, you know, my job as a sponsor or working for others, first, I can't work with somebody I'm in love with. That's not the right process. And second, it's not to rescue them. My job as a sponsor is to just tell them my story. If they're attracted to my story, they will work the program and their higher power will rescue them, not me. But I still don't know whether I did the right thing by stopping and calling him every night at 10:30, but I did eventually. And it was an important insight into myself that somehow I was getting high by trying to rescue him, by trying to trying to be a higher power of a grown man was probably for me even more intoxicating than the food. So I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Andy. So we're commenting on paragraph 2 on page 101. It begins with in our belief any scheme. And we have time for one or two more shares. So if you haven't shared in the last couple of days and you'd like to share, please press star 1 to unmute.
Betty H. Sarah C.
I heard somebody H. And I heard somebody C and somebody H. I'm sorry.
It was Dara C.
Dara C. Okay.
And Betsy H.
And Betsy H. Okay. And great. And we have time for about 2 minute shares each. I hope that's okay. And so Dara C, please share with us.
Okay, thank you. Am I still unmuted?
Yes, you are.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I am Dara C. I am a gracefully recovered compulsive overeater in Wilmington, Delaware. I'm thankful for everybody who got on Thanksgiving to do service and make this meeting possible. This is my first Thanksgiving recovered, and I have so much to be thankful for this year, especially neutrality around food. You know, I didn't even know that this was possible. And, you know, for alcoholics, maybe it's a little bit easier to hide from temptation. Maybe, you know, maybe they can, you know, not go into bars and stuff. I have to go into the grocery stores. I have to prepare meals. I am cooking today and I'm grateful to be doing so and to have friends and family to be joining me. But I, you know, it's amazing. I'm in and out of the stores. I'm getting what I need. Other people's carts are overflowing with stuff that I don't eat, and that's fine. I have no feelings about it at all. And that's the miracle of this program. That's one miracle of this program. And, you know, yesterday was my husband's birthday, and so I got him a piece of birthday cake because he can have a piece of birthday cake, but I don't need an entire cake in the house. And so that was fine. And I had no feelings about it. I wasn't trying to stick my fingers in and lick it, or I wasn't like, I had no feelings or thoughts about it at all. And that's just so amazing to me. I'm really grateful for that. So I stuck a candle in it, sang it to him. He ate it. It was gone. And honestly, haven't thought about it again until I started sharing right now. So I know I only have 2 minutes. So I'm going to pass and wish everyone a beautiful, wonderful, amazing Thanksgiving and an abstinent day. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Dearest C. And Betsy H. will be our final share for today.
Hi, I'm Betsy H., recovered compulsive reader in California. I don't think just shielding myself from temptation has ever worked over the long haul. I really needed to work the steps and have the steps to remove those blockages between me and my higher power. It's like I needed to get a good Wi-Fi connection with my higher power. I need to get a good cell phone connection with my higher power so that I need that power to keep me abstinent, to be in recovery. And today, Thanksgiving, I'm just giving myself permission to lower my expectations. In the past, I would have thought so much about like, oh, it's got to be so this, you know, so fun, recreational eating. It's a holiday. I'm supposed to be so happy. But today, I think I'm just approaching it more as like, this is a Thursday. I have my plan of eating. I know that I like the foods I have in my plan of eating. I know it's enough. And I'm putting the structure in my day. I'm coming to this meeting. I'm going to another meeting later. I'm going to call some other fellow OA people to be of service. And that's really like the structure of my day, is to put my recovery first. And also just to that when I do that, that enables me just to show up and be of service and not be thinking about myself so much or about people I'm annoyed with or what other people think of me. It just, I just come to a gathering of with an idea of how can I be of service? You know, how are the other people doing today? And if it's a happy occasion, so I'll try to increase their happiness. And so with that, I'm grateful to be here, to be part of this recovery group, because I did so much recreational eating in the past. I've kind of like given up my rights to it now. And also it never made me happy, you know, being able to be abstinent and work the steps really lets me to participate in life like I never could before. So grateful to be here and have a good day, everyone.
Thank you very much, Betsy H. and everybody who has shared. So grateful for all of you. Happy Thanksgiving. Good day to focus on gratitude. We will now transition the meeting by reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Eileen M. please read A Vision for You?
Good morning. This is Eileen M., grateful recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.